Okay, today's daf is daf chavav. I figure we take it the top line, the two dots. Great. Gemara says, quote from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yishmael, Omer Einachayv Ela Al Ha'asr Lavas. We already saw this machlokus that Rabbi Yishmael holds that a shvuas bitoy only is a shvua if it's in the future. That's what Pasuk says, we'll see in just a moment. And Rabbi Kiva thinks it will even be a shvua if you say l'sha'avar, even a past tense shvua. So the Gemara says, Tanar Banim quotes a brayse here, L'harau L'heitev. I only know things that have either positive or negative effect. The example they give is eating. Eating could either be positive for a person or it could be negative, depending what you eat, how much you eat, if you eat, don't eat. So that's something leharav lehetev. Ainli ela dvarim sheish bem harav hatava. What about shein bem harav hatava? Let's say that it has no impact, not negative, not positive. Minayin, how do I know such a shvua would take effect as well? Rashi gives the example of throwing a rock into the water. It's no, not good or bad. It's an action. How do we know that will also be considered a shvuas bitoy? Tamalomar o nefesh kisish bo levate bisvasayim. When a nefesh, when a person makes a shvua, he articulates with his lips. So we know from there, Rashi says, mikomakom, any type of shvua will be included. So ainli ela lahaba. The pasuk only talks about laharel lahetev, something good or bad I'm going to do. What about l'sha'avar? How do I know minayin, a past tense shvua, will be considered a shvua? Tamalomar l'chol asher yivate ha'adam b'shvua. It says again the word yivate in the same pasuk a second time. That's coming to include even past, even l'sha'avar, divrei Rabbi Akiva. So that's the limit for Rabbi Akiva, that again, all types of shvuas, past, present, good, bad, neutral, are all shvuas. Rabbi Yishmael omer l'harel l'heitev l'haba. The pasuk is talking about in the future, and only that type of shvua will be a shvua, but not a l'sha'avar. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva asks Rabbi Yishmael, "Mkein ein li el advar sheish b'matava v'hara." If you're learning the psukim hara lehetev as very literal, so then that means you'd also have to say only dvarim, only shvuas that are positive and negative, such as eating, but throwing into the water, which is neutral, that shouldn't be included. How do you know such a shvua would take effect? So dvarim shein behem hara v'atava minayin. So Amar lo, Rabbi Yishmael responds, mi riboy hakasuv. So from the extra pasuk of Yivateh, it comes to include even dvarim shein haram v'atav, even neutral types of actions. So Amar lo, so Rabbi Kiva says, im riba hakasuv l'chach, once you're coming to include dvarim shein ben hatav v'ara, so then you should also come to do riba hakasuv l'chach. Well, I lost the line for a second here. Im riba kasa l'kach, riba kasa l'kach. Right, once you're including neutral things, you should also include l'shavar. So shapir kamer le Rabbi Akiva, le Rabbi Yishmael. The Gemara comments that Rabbi Akiva had a very good response. It seems that there's a check made here. But
it's like word by word the Mishnah.
I don't remember exactly the Mishnah. It could be.
Now it's
almost, so now the Gemara comments, so what's the response back? How does Rabbi Yishmael respond back to Rabbi Akiva? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yishmael sheshimesh es Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Rabbi Yishmael was a Talmud, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, shehaya dorish es kol Torah kula b'chal ufratu, that he always learned the Torah in klal uprats. So Ihunami, so Rabbi Yishmael himself, as a Talmud, it was also dorish b'chal ufrat. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, sheshimesh es nochem ish gamzu, he was the one who famously said gamzu l'tova in every single thing that happened to him. So shehaya dorish es kol Torah kula b'riba umid. So Ihunami, so to Rabbi Akiva, as a Talmud, he is dorish es kol Torah kula b'riba umid. Yunami darsh ribit mit. Fine. So Gemara says, what does this mean? How does this apply to the case of Shuas Bitwe? So my Rebbe Akiva, the darsh ribo yomiut, where do we see this? The Tani, the Brisa tells us, O nefesh ki sishba riba. When a nefesh, when a person takes a shvua, that's riba, that's all inclusive. L'haral lehetev, that's me, that excludes everything else. It's very limited to a future good or future bad type of shvua. But then it says at the end of the pasuk, L'chol asher yivate ha'adam, so techaza v'riba. So we have now the yisod, riba, umiyat v'riba. So what is this? How does this principle work? Riba hakol, riba includes everything. My riba, riba kol mila, includes every single type of shvua. My miyat, miyat davar mitzvah. We saw this Rashi earlier in the Masechta that explained how these two principles worked. But in essence, riba includes everything, and miyat is just one item. One thing is being excluded. What's being excluded? A dvar mitzvah. That a shvua does not take effect if it's going to be a mevatel, a davar mitzvah. They point out here also not only a davar mitzvah, but Rashi says, you see Rashi three lines down from the top, my miyat mitzvah, The davar sheyefshahu, you can't. It's impossible. Veshua cannot take effect in a mitzvah that we already have to keep. Vehu adin lemishana es hayadu la'adam. Also trying to change that which is emes, to make sure that this table is a car that's not emes. So anytime you're trying to say change something that's the impossible, that is not a good shvuah. So riba includes everything according to Rabbi Akiva, which is both la'asid l'sha'avar, and also things that are yesh ben hara v'atava, even dvarim she'em ben hara v'atava, because he learned riba umiyu.
The mitzvah the same as Mishmoni HaSinai? Is that the same thing?
I think that's the idea, yeah. That's why it doesn't work on Devar Mitzvah. So then the Gemara says, that's all Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Three wide lines down in the Gemara now. Rabbi Yishmael, Darish Kal Pra, that's his principle that he uses. O Nefesh Kisishba Levate B'Sasayim, that's a Klal. Lehara Lehetev Prat, that's a, that's singled out, very specific. And Lechol HaShevate Adam, that's Chazar V'Klal, that's another Klal at the end. So now we invoke the principle Klal U'Prat U'Klal. And we know, Iyatadan Elokeina Prat, that whenever there's a Klal Prat, so that means it limits the Klal, is now much more limited. It's not everything. We're now redefining the Klal to a more exclusive type of Klal, meaning Ma prat mefurash lahava. Just like the prat, the example is given, which is lahara lahetev, which is in the future. Sa'af so too says Rabbi Shmuel kol lahaba ahani lahaba. So to any other type of shvua that is like the prat, meaning that's in the future la'asid. That's the basis for shita's Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says ahani klala. The klala is effective. It works la'suye to include afilu dvarim shem behemara. Vatava laba. Even items that are not hara vatava, things that are neutral, like throwing a pebble into the water, that will be included based on the klal uprat uklal. So the Gemara then says, ahani prat, that what's the effect of the prat? Limu'ute, to exclude afilu dvarim sheish bem hara vatava l'sha'avar. Even though it might be an item that has positive and negative, like eating or not eating, in the past tense, that's being excluded. So that's the drasha, that's the basis for Shitas Rabbi Yishmael. So the Gemara says, Epach, Anna, I would switch it around, right? Why not say, maybe the klal is coming to include lahara lahetev in the past tense. Maybe it should include l'sha'avar types of shvuas according to Rabbi Shmuel, and exclude the neutral type of dvarim that are in the future. So that why do we go that direction? So explains the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak, dumya de lahara lahetev. It has to be similar to the prat. Misha isura mishum bal yechal dvaro. Has to be lahara lahetev, which is a type of iser of not keeping your word. So zu she'ein, as opposed to l'sha'avar, she'ein isur mishim bal yechal dvaro. It's not a violation. If you say a shvua that l'sha'avar, what had happened or what didn't happen, that's not violating your, that's not keeping to your word. That's a different problem of ela mishim bal tishaku. That's lying of what happened or what didn't happen. We have to have it similar in terms of the iser. The iser shebo is one of bal yechal dvaro. When a person says something, he makes a promise, and he desecrates it. He doesn't keep his promise, so that's only in the future. So that's the idea behind this, why Rabbi Shmuel only includes la'asid and not l'sha'avar. Good? So bothered by something?
I'm bothered by something, but it's not to do with Gemara.
Oh, okay. Basketball game. Fine. Gemara Rabbi Yitzchak bar Av Amar. He says, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, O nefesh kisishba levate b'tfasayim. So he has another reason why this has to be the case. Another drasha, why Rabbi Shmuel includes only la'asid shruas, but not l'sha'avar. And based on the way the pasuk is presented, again it says, "O nefesh ki sishba levate b'sfasayim," to take a shvua of words that you've articulated. Misha shvua kodemes lebitur. The pasuk says the word shvua before it says bitur. That the shvua has to be before the action, a future type of shvua. That I will do something or I will not do something. Below, and as opposed to shebitur kodemes leshvua, as opposed to where the bitur, the action, took place before my shvua, a past tense, which is in essence yotza, to exclude the case of zechalti velochalti, to take a shvua I ate or I didn't eat, shemaisa kodem leshvua, where in that case of leshavar, the action took place prior to my swear. So these are the understandings of Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Yishmael. In essence, it's based on drashas.
We call it like Rabbi Akiva, right?
In this regard, usually we pass on Rabbi Akiva.
Because also the Mishnah, you know, when you say Shtayim Shen Arba, it includes the past, right?
This is true, but in general, we hold the principle of Klal Prat Klal. That's how we normally pass on, I think, over Riba Mir Riyut. So I don't look into the Psak here, I didn't have a chance to. So I wonder why that would be, if we do Paskin like Rabbi Akiva, in fact. I just see, looking at the note here, the Ein Mishpah, there is an Ein Mishpah by Ein Dvarim, even Dvarim She'ein Behem Harav Atava, But even Rabbi Shmuel agrees to that as well. Where's the Beis here? I don't see the Beis anymore.
The whole Mishnah, the first Mishnah, right, with that
premise. Right, but that could be a stop Mishnah. So I don't know. Lemaisa, I'm not sure. I would imagine we pass in Rabbi Akiva. I just don't know how we square that with you normally passing like Klal Prada Klal.
The bottom line of the Rabbeinu Hanan, kind of like Rabbi Akiva.
Right, so that's what I would assume. I just don't know why we go against Rabbi Shmuel, who holds klal prado klal, which I think we hold like in general. Okay, the Gemara now says Tanu Rabbanan, last three medium wide lines down in the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan ha'adam b'shavua, a person takes a shavua, says the pasuk prat le'ones, as opposed to a person who is an honest. We'll see what an honest means in just a moment. Vinelam, he forgot about it. Problem is that a person, only a guy's chayav a karbon if he forgot about the shvua. But if he's well aware of the shvua, yet went ahead and violated the shvua, he'd be patur from a karbon as well, because a person who's bemazed never brings a karbon. A karbon only comes about bishogig. And then what do we learn from the word mimenu? Mimenu is forgotten from him. That seems to be superfluous. Shinis alma mimenu shvua. So that the shvua escaped him. What do you mean escaped him? To tell us, Yachal Shinis Alma Mimenu Chafetz. Let's say he forgot about the Chafetz. He took a shua about a particular piece of bread. So let's say he forgot that this bread, he knew he took a shua, but wasn't aware that this bread was Bechlal, that oath. So how do you know, maybe that too, if he forgot about that particular Chafetz, he should be Chayiv? Tamalomar B'Shvua V'Nelam. Al ha'elam shvua hu chayv veinu chayv al ha'elam chayfetz. He's only chayv if the shvua escapes him. He forgot about the shvua, but if he remembered the shvua, he just forgot about the object that the shvua was on. So then he'd actually be pater from the shvua. So these are a few different instances the Gemara is about to darshan and go into each further about the cases where you would not be chayv a karbon. Number one is if you're honest, the opposite extreme if you're mazid. And number three is if you forgot about the chayfetz, even though if you remember the shvua, that would be a third example where you'd be putter in a karbon. So the Gemara explains and analyzes the b'raisa. Amar mar. Ha'adam b'shvua prat le'onas. A person takes a shvua, but if the guy was forced into the shvua somehow, we'll see what that means, he'd be putter from the karbon. Heichi dami, what's the case of onas? Kidirav kahana, the Rav Asi. These two great tzaddikim, kiyav kaima mekami dirav. They both stood. And Kaima, right, they both said, the Rav Amar, in front of Rav. Mar Amar Shvua Dehachi Amar Rav. After they heard a drasha or halacha from Rav, one of them said, I swear Rav said this. And Mar Amar, the other said, Shvua Dehachi Amar Rav. No, I swear he said the opposite. So now, Kiyasu Lekame De Rav, they went to Rav to figure out who was correct. Amar Kichaminayu, so one of you, he said, one of them is right. Fine, obviously one of them is right. Amar Lei Idach, so the other one who was incorrect, now did I violate a Shua Sheker? I swore I heard you say something else. So Rav says back to him, Amar Lei Libcha Anascha, your heart caused you to mistake. What does that mean? Rashi says, look at Rashi around 10 lines up from the bottom, Libcha Anascha Kisavur Hayisa Lishava Bemis. You thought you were saying the truth. I swore that this happened. And turns out you were incorrect. But in your mind, you really were 100% certain that that's what happened. That's what I said. That's called anus. He didn't forget anything. He just completely understood the case. He understood the words completely differently. That's the case of anus. An interesting application of anus. So look what Tosas writes, Libcha anascha. He says, we'll just do the first few lines here. Nira, dilav lemitre mi karbon greda kamar. It's not only to exempt him from being a karbon, this case of anus. Meaning what? Shelo yitzdarech lichtov al pinkaso shiyavi chatas shmeina lichshibina beis hamikdash. There's a brought down in the Gemara's in Shabbos, the Gemara in Yuma, that a person violates a veira bisman hazeh, he should write down that he did a certain veira, write down the shear in case the shearim change, that when the beis hamikdash is rebuilt, he needs to bring a very fat, juicy cow to mechaper for his carbon. So Tosa says, not only is he exempt from a carbon, ela filu onush na milaka. There's not even an onush to speak of, and he goes on to bring a raya from nidre onsen, when a person makes a nether because of onus. So I didn't have a chance to look into this. I had this big bar mitzvah basketball game last night I don't know what the chiddush is, because we have the concept of onus rachmana patre. In general, the case of an onus, you're always pater. Onus rachmana patre, the Gemara says, you're pater from any type of punishment. So that seems to be an obvious case here. The question by onus rachmana patre is, how far do you say he's onus? How far do you say he's pater? There's an extreme that Ron writes in the Dharam that not only is he pater from a punishment, but we even view the maisa as not being a maisa. It's not even a maisa to speak of. Right, so there's if you look at Asman Deraisa, Yosef Engel has this chakira. When we say onesh rachmana patre, it doesn't mean he's pater from the onesh, but but there still is a lav that was taking place? Or no, the lav is even not spoken of. So that might be what Tosfos is trying to deal with right here, that not only is he punished, rather, not only is he exempt from the karban, but he's even exempt from the punishment. But maybe he's trying to say even exempt from the ma'isa, that even the ma'isa isn't acknowledged as being a ma'isa. Maybe that's what Tosfos is trying to say. I'm not entirely sure. Okay. But that's the example of Anas, where he mamish thought something was correct, and he was incorrect in what he had understood. So then the Gemara says three wide lines down the end of the line here, V'ne'ala mimenu, the pasuk says, and it escaped him, she'nis'ali mimenu shvua, that he forgot about the shvua. So that's another example where he wouldn't be chayv a karbon. Yochol she'nis'ali mimenu chayfetz, let's say he forgot about this particular object. You might think you'd be pater as well. Tamar lomar, b'shvua v'ne'alam, only mimenu, al helam shvua hu t'chayv, he's only chayv if he forgot the shvua. But if he forgot the chayfetz, but he remembered the shvua, then he wouldn't be pater, he would be chayv in the karban. So the Gemara explains, mach ke aleb in Marav, and Marav in the west, in Eretz Yisrael, that is, they were laughing. They said, Bishma, I understand the case of shvua, mishkachas labalo chayfetz. You could have an example where the guy forgot about the shvua, but he didn't forget about this particular object. What's that example? Kagon, damar shvua shelo ochel paschitin. He took a shvua that I won't eat wheat bread, ukasavar sheochel, and he thought he took a shvua that he's going to eat. He thought he said, I'm going to eat, I swore I will eat. He forgot exactly the text of his shvua. The shvuasa inish lashon of forgetting also, the shvuasa inish, he forgot the shvua, but cheftzadach, he remembered what the topic was. He knew the shvua had to do with a cheftz of paschitin, he just forgot the nature of the shvua. But that's an example where you forgot the shvua, shvua ne'ala mimenu, but you didn't forget the bread, the object. Ella, chayfetz below shvua hechidami. Where's there an example where you forgot the chefza, but you remembered the shvua? How do you have such a case? Kigon, damer shvua shlo ocha paschitim. He took a shvua that I won't eat wheat bread. Ukasavar shel saorim kamer. Then he thought he said barley bread. Dishvuase dacher lei chefza inshe. He remembered he took a shvua, he just forgot the item, he forgot the object that the shvua was said about. Kevan de chefza inshile. So the Gemara says, once you forget that what the object that we're talking about, that's in essence you're forgetting about the shvua. Because my shvua was on the wheat. Now I'm speaking of barley, there's no shvua attached to the barley. Once you have no chayfetz, there's no shvua to speak of. It's a little hard to understand here. The Gemara is going to go back and forth for a moment. In the end of the day, we're going to say that there really is no case. You can't have an object without a shvua and a shvua without an object. But just without getting too involved right now, is since he's thinking about a different object, and there's no shvua affiliated with that other object of barley, it's as if he forgot the shvua as well. So you can't ever have a case, where you forgot the chayfetz, but you remember the shvua. The Gemara says, what do you mean? So El Amar Rabbi Elazar, da v'da achasi. You're right. There's never an example where you can have one without the other. It's really one example of forgetting a shvua is forgetting the chayfetz. Forgetting the chayfetz is forgetting the shvua. So Maskif La Rabbi Yosef, Alma, Chayfetz below shvua lo mishkachas la. So you really can't find a case where you forgot the object and you remembered the shvua. But how mishkachas? I could create a case. Kigon damar shvua shlo ochel paschitim. He said, "I'm not going to." He swore he's not going to eat wheat. V'hoshi yado lasal. He took it, put his hand in the basket. Litel pasarim. He wanted to reach out and take a barley bread. V'also biyado shel chitin. And he took out wheat. But he looked at it. He didn't know the bread making so much. He thought he was eating barley, but in fact it was wheat. And he ended up eating it. The shvua dachle. He remembered the shvua. He knew the shvua he took. He knew the shvua was on pas chitim. He knew all that. He just didn't know what object. He didn't know the matzias of what he was holding. So that's an example. The shvua dachle. He remembered the shvua. But cheftahu de lo yadle. But he didn't know the object. So that's a case where you forgot the chefta and remember the shvua. So Amar Lei, Abai says, "Klum mechayeves le karbon ella amay de tafes biyade." So you only take a karbon, you only a chayve karbon rather, if you on that which is in your hand. So helam shvuahu, and that's a helam shvua. So how do we understand this line for a second? Since in the end of the day, but in his mind, that he thought he's holding a piece of barley bread, so he thought he didn't take a shvua on this item, and he didn't violate a shvua in his mind. He was mamish a case of onus, it seems. And Lishna Achrina the Gemara says, a different version is Amar Le'abai, the Rav Yosef, sof karbon de kamaisi, Allah, in the end of the day, when he brings a karbon, deha pas mias helam shvuhu. In the end of the day, what he ate was a pas, so he still brings a shu on the chefta. It's a little confusing, very confusing, I think. So the Gemara says...
No, because it's clear, because when he's eating, he's thinking that he's eating the right thing, meaning he doesn't... Eat.
But in this case, he says he's chayv a carbon, though. And then according to Lishlish and Acharina, no?
But even according to the first Lashon, it sounds like... The first Lashon doesn't say Anasu, it says Helom Shvuo. Both Lashonos, it kind of implies Yischaiv a Korban, but it's considered a Helom Shvuo.
It would seem that both, uh-huh. the result of those both are the same. It's just a way to...
He's Yischaiv a Korban, but it's not because he forgot the Cheft,
right.
It's because he forgot the Shvuo.
Even though it looks to me
right.
Like he forgot the Cheft.
Yeah.
So my
head's spinning when I'm learning this sugi here. But in the end of the day, he forgot the Shvuo somehow. And then...
in fact, he didn't realize it pertained to this item. We're calling that a Helom Shvuo.
Yeah.
No, it's a confusion in the item. It's
right.
A confusion in the Shvuo.
Yeah. So you would see at the end, this last line of the Gemara of the Amud here, I think brings everything to light a little bit. But the Gemara then says, Amar Lei, V'Rav Yosef, Amar Lecha, Kevin, Dechi Yad, Lei, Dechitin, Hu, Parash Menei, Helom Chefetzer. That's what we thought. Rav Yosef says, no, in the end of the day, since he thought it was wheat and not barley, so then he was separated from the Chefetzer. So we see that confusion between Rav Yosef and Abaye. That's the very confusion. Is it because of the Shur, is it because of the Chefetzer? And that's the back and forth. So now the Gemara says, Bar Menei asks the question, Rava Merav Nachman, Helom Zeb Zeb Yadu Mahu. Let's say he separated, he forgot the chefta, forgot the shua, forgot everything. Mahu, what's the din in this case? So Amrle, they say, Harei helm shua biyada v'chayv. What do you mean? Since he forgot the shua, so even though he also forgot the chefta, but he forgot the shua as well, so he should be chayv a carbon. So the Gemara says, Adarabba, Harei helm chayfis biyada. He forgot about the chefta as well, so he should be potter. So Amrav Ashi, Chazinan, we have to take a look at the case here. Imach mashua kaparish, Harei helm shua biyada. What is the reason why he stopped, why he would have stopped? Then he'd be chayv. It's because of shvuah, then he should be chayv a carbon. Imachmas chayfes, if it's because the object, had he known the chayfes, he would have stopped. Then kaparish, hare helm chayfes, biyado pater. You have to figure out what would have stopped him from going ahead and eating this item. So amr li ravina li ravashi, klum parish mishvuah ela mishim chayfes. Klum parish mishvuah ela mishim shvuah ela loshna. Meaning, you can't have one without the other, in essence. That the guy only separates because he knows he took a shvuah on this particular object. So the object without the shvuah without the object, you can't have one without the other. So in essence, he's separated from both of them, in which case you should be chayiv a shvuah. Okay. Gemara now says, last line of the Amud here, by minei rava mirav nachman. Eza, hu shkagas shvuah bitoy l'sha'avar. What's the example of a shvuah's bitoy? You only chayiv a carbon, as we know, if you're shogeg. So what's the case of shogeg on something you have done in the past? So Gemara breaks down the options here. Idiyada, if he was well aware that he was making an incorrect shvuah, what he had done or not done, that's mezidi. And we know mezidi doesn't bring a carbon. Idiloyada, if he had no idea what he had done, that's anasu. He took a shvuah thinking what he was saying is correct, but turned out he was incorrect. He checked the video footage and he did something different than what he had thought. That's anas. So where is there a case where he's chayv on a shavar mishogeg? Amalei ba'omer yodea ni sheshvuah zu asura, aval eini yodea im chayav mele karbon olav. It's a situation where he knew what he had done, but he wasn't aware that the violation he's about to do will result in a carbon. And according to Munbaz, as we're about to see, Munbaz holds that if you didn't know, you knew about the actions you did, you knew about your maisa, but you were unaware of the punishment that was connected to it, that's considered a shigigas shvuah shigas shogeg. Exactly. It's really a mezid case. Very good. But since it's an element he didn't know about, it's considered shogeg according to the Shitas Munbaz. That's the Gemara's in Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Kiman, who holds this way? It must be Kun Munbaz. Damar shigas karbon shma shiga. That's called a shiga, called an accident. And therefore, even though it was mezid, as Ricky said, we could classify it as shogeg. He'd be chayv a karbon on the shavar. Comes along, the Gemara and says, not true. Afilu tema rabbanan. You could even suggest rabbanan who argue on munbaz. Rabbanan say that shigas karbon is not called a shogeg. That's called mezid. In this case, rabbanan will agree. Ad kan lo pligi rabbanan le de munbaz. When do rabbanan argue on munbaz? Only in a case bechal torah kula de lav chidishu. Meaning what? So Rashi explains here. If you look at first narrow line down, the last the words of Rashi tevos hachi garsinan. The bechal torah lo ashichan de lav de maisi karbon below karis. I mean, we know the klal is, when do you bring a carbon chatas? when the mazid is kares, so if you do a b'shogeg, you bring a carbon. Everyone knows that principle. So you can't claim, you can't say, oh, I didn't know this leads to a carbon. Of course you knew a carbon. Everyone knows that principle. Shabbos is chayv karis, if there's no eid in basra, so the shogeg is a carbon chatas. Chaylev is karis, so carbon is a chatas. Eating dam, any case you have. So you can't claim, oh, I didn't know the punishment. But when it comes to the world of shavua, hacha to chidishu, what's the chidish by shavua? De b'chola torah kula lo achachan lav, the ma'isi carbon, a person of avera that's a lav, not karis, but stam a lav never leads to a case of chatas. The alfina me avodah zara. Avodah zara is the source for this. Avodah zara, there's a chi of karis, and we learn from a carbon from avodah zara that it's shogeg you bring a carbon. So that's the model for everything. But hacha ma'isi in the world of shvua, even though there's no karis by shvua, special chiddush Torah, it leads to a karban. So here, afilu rabbanan will be modu, that maybe I could understand how a guy would think that a shvua wouldn't lead to a karban. Because when you violate a shvua b'mezid, it's only a lav, so maybe a shogeg wouldn't be karban. So that would be shigas shvua, and you would be chayv a karban, even according to the rabbanan. Okay. Gemara asks a question, now, boi minei ravina meirava. Nishba al kikar umistakein aleh. The guy says, I swear I'm not going to eat this piece of bread. Then the guy's pikuach nefesh. He's about to die. Is he allowed to mahu? Is he allowed to violate the shvuah and eat the piece of bread? We know the answer, of course, mistakein lishri leimar. If it's a danger, it's pikuach nefesh. Nothing stands in the way of pikuach nefesh other than the big three. There's not one of the big three. It's only an issa shvuah. Of course, you eat the bread. Now, if you could undo the bread, if there's a chacham around there who could have a she'ela and undo it, that would seemingly be better. There's that Mishnah in Yuma that talks about kal, when it comes to, let's say, a person's pikuach nefesh. He has two different yisurim in front of him. I don't remember all the examples, but let's say the ones like you have a chazer and you have a shemitah fruits. So which one should you do? So you always go for the lesser of the two yisurim. And the Gemara goes through fascinating different yisurim. So I imagine if the chacham's there, you should take the approach of have him undo the shvua and eat it b'hetera. If he's not around, so then you could eat it directly. Oh, it's pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, yeah.
You could say that pikuach nefesh, but he's still shogeg because of the situation.
No, I don't think so. But pikuach nefesh,
no,
yeah.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
You could think that, listen, he's eating the mazid, but he's really shogeg because he's in
right.
Sakana. But we don't say
yeah, that. All the shots we say not that way.
Completely pater.
There are even cases where the gemara, the lach is, a person, let's say, needs to have a non-kosher food for his refuah. The Gemara talks, the Mishnah talks about a case of eating of a dog, it bites you, you eat the kidney of a dog or something, it's a refuah, end up saying we don't do that, that's chukas akum, there's no real basis for this. So you ask the doctor here, eating a dog's kidney is probably not good for anything, or the liver maybe, the liver of the dog. But let's say there's a situation where you need to have, some babies have to have certain milk from whales or something like that, right? You know about this? Whales or some non-kosher food they have to have because they can't take milk. So let's say there's an older kid who needs to have some non-kosher food for his refuah, and it's food, not medicine, it's food. So the lach is you actually say bracha on it. You would say bracha, even though it's an iser, in pekuach nefesh, and you need it, and you're getting hanah from it, you would actually say bracha. The Mishnah Berurah writes that, however, if the person finds it disgusting because it's, in the end day, it's an avela trefos, and even though it's edible, and if he finds it disgusting, then he shouldn't say bracha. But that's a case where not only is there no iser, but you would even say bracha on an avela and trefa. Okay. The Gemara now says, "By minute." So that's the case. So it can't be if it's a guy's a sakana pashat he could eat. Elamit star v'achla b'shigas shvua mai. Let's say he's in pain, not in danger. He's in pain, and he goes ahead and eats it. What's the halach? Is that considered shiga shvua or is that considered mazid? So the Gemara ends up answering, "Amr lei tanina." We have a klal. This is alluding to the sugyas in Horyos. Shave me the also. Maybe carbon al shikaga. So a person who did tshuva from what he had done, so he brings a carbon on his shiga. Lo shev miyadiyasa, if he didn't change his mind, ain maybe carbon al shikaga. So he doesn't bring it. So it sounds like from Rashi, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, a mitstar birav, a case where he's very hungry, but not in danger. Vi'i nami lo nelma mimenu haya achla. Let's say he didn't forget the shua. In the cases he did in this case, but let's say we're talking about had he not forgotten the shua, he would have eaten it anyways. The achla b'shogeg behelm shua. He ended up eating it as he forgot the shua, but that really didn't get in the way. He would have eaten it anyways because he was in such pain. So that's lo shev midyaso. Hai nami lo shev midyaso. It's almost like a mazed case. This case where the guy eats it because he's mitzayer, That's a case of mezid, and a person with mezid is not called shev nidiyaso, and he's therefore not chayv a carbon because he did a worse avera. He's pater. He doesn't get it to bring a carbon. Gemara now says, Amar Shmuel, Gemara belibo, tzarch shiotzi bisfasav. Person has in mind, he wants to make a shvua, so he has to not only think about it, it has to be articulated. Yotze bisfasav. Shinamars, it says, Livate bisfasayim, you have to put the words on your lips. So the Gemara challenges Shita Shmuel based on the Braisa, Mesive, bisfasayim velo belev. You said it, but let's say you weren't Gemara belev. You just spoke, but you weren't paying attention to what you were saying. How do you know, how do you know it's going to work? As long as you say it. So this is a very confusing braisa. The Gemara is about, it doesn't make sense what we just read. So how gufa kasha? This braisa doesn't make sense. Amris bisfasayim velo belev. You have to say it, but you don't gamar belibo. But then it says hada amar gamar belibo minayim. So are we including a person who just thought about a shvua? Is that going to take effect, or he has to actually articulate the words? So the Gemara is going to explain the braisa and then ask a kasha. Amr of Sheshes, the way you read the Braisa is Holokasha, Hachi Kamar. The Braisa is Bisfasayim Velo Shigamar Belibo Lotzi Bisfasav Velo Hotzi. Confusing. Meaning you said something, you have to say the words, and you can't Gamar Belibo to say something, but not actually say something. I mean, if you had a mind to say something, and you never end up saying that, that's not going to work. Once you've committed to say the words, but let's say, Gamar Belibo, Stam. Let's say you committed something in your mind, but you never said to say something. You just say, I want to take a shvua in my mind, Gamar Belibo. So how do you know that works? Again, let me just make that clear. If I say in my mind, I want to take a shvua, if I never say the words, then I want to take a shvua, that doesn't work. But let's say the second case is, Gamar Belibo, Stam, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to think about it. How do you know thinking about it alone will be effective? Gamar belibo stam minayin. Tamaloma lechol asher yivate lechol. Any type of yivate, even without svasayim, as long as there's gamar belibo, that's enough for a shvua. So now we have a kasha, el shmuel kasha, because Shmuel started off saying gamar belibo has to be tzarech shiyotzi bisvasav, as the pasuk says, levate bisvasayim. But this brisa, Shmuel can argue in a brisa, the brisa says even gamar belibo stam works, even without levate yisvasayim. So Amar Rav Sheshes Tarat Ve'emahachi. Let's re-understand the Braisa to say as follows. Bisvasayim v'lo shegomer belibo. Let's say you said something, but you weren't to gomer belibo, lohotzi pas chitin, v'hotzi pas seorim. And it can't be a case, you have to say, it has to, your lips have to match your mind. Meaning if you thought to say one thing, to say pas chitin, and you end up saying pas seorim, that won't work. Gomer belibo, lohotzi pas chitin, v'hotzi pas stam, Minayim. Meaning, according to the Braisa, you have to say something. Everyone agrees, like Shmuel, you have to say something. But this case is you didn't say everything you wanted to say. The first case was you contradicted what you wanted to say. That doesn't work. But let's say you just said pastam. You didn't specify which type of bread. How do you know that that would be a good shvua? Tamalomar lechol asher yitzvati adam. Anything a person says, as long as it's consistent with his das, that would be considered a good shvua. The Gemara now finish off the daf here. Meisive motzis fasecha tishmor. The pasuk says vasisa. You articulate words and you keep it and you fulfill it. Ainli ela sheotzi bisfasav. I only know that you actually said the words. Gamar belibo minayin. How do I know if you just thought about the words it works as well? Tamulomar kol nedivlev. So what's the context of the pasuk kol nedivlev? It's referring to the chumas melechas mishkan. Rashi says when they dedicated things to the mishkan, even if you're gamar belibo, that would be considered a good neder. You have to follow through. So how come it works by neder of Mishkan, doesn't work by Shavua? Gemara says, Shiny Hasam, there is different. Dichsiv kol nediv lev. It's a mefurish pasuk. Doesn't say that by Shavua. So Nigmar Minei, why not learn a concept, if it exists by Nidarim, by Chumas and Mishkan, it should work by Shavua? Because we have Mishim Dehavit Chuma v'kachum shnei ksuma bam keechad. We have two different psukim that tells this. And Rashi tells us the other cases by kachim v'chol nediv lev olos. It says in Divrei Yomim, if you're makdish in your mind, that will take effect. So we have kachim and we have nedarim by mishkan. So we know the concept v'chol shnei ksuma bam keechad ein malam. Then we cannot learn from two psukim. Hanich l'man damer ein malam. Then this makes sense if you hold to such a principle. But we know there's always machlokas elamandamar malamdin ma'ikla meimar. The other opinion who thinks you can learn, even though there are two examples in the Torah, you could still use that as a model for elsewhere. How come we don't apply this to shvua? So the Gemara says, "Havichulin v'kachim, v'chulin v'kachim lo gaminim." The world of a shvua is only the world of chulim. The world of a chuma, samishkan, and kachim is the world of kachim. You cannot learn chulim from kachim. They're two different worlds entirely. Okay, pick up tomorrow. Let's tomorrow.